We have been so blessed this weekend to receive from the CEO of Mission Aviation Fellowship, but I want to tell you a little bit about the history of how our relationship with John and Tanya Boyd began. 25 years ago, John and Tanya Boyd went to Mission Aviation Fellowship. It was based then at Redlands. And they went through all the training. It's a long, long process to become an MAF pilot. And part of that process is that you have to raise your own funds. You have to go to churches and you have to share what you're doing and say, would you be willing to support us? And how did they do that 25 years ago? Before the internet, guys. They went, and you might have seen this. This happened in my house the other day. It was crazy. Somebody left this big, thick book right on my doorstep. It was yellow, and it has these cheap, flimsy pages. And I was like, what is this? And it was a phone book. You guys have heard of this? It's crazy. So John and Tanya, they got a phone book, and they went to C for churches. And they went down the line and started calling churches. Can you imagine? Just cold calling churches. And we happened to answer. And in John's Scottish accent, something about that just resonated on the other side of the other line of the phone. And I'm John Boyd, and my wife and I are pilots for Mission Aviation Fellowship, and we're going to be going to the Congo, and we're wondering if you would support us. And it just so happened to be a mission conference time, and we said, come on over to our mission conference. We'd love to meet you. 25 years later, he's now been the CEO of Mission Aviation Fellowship for how many years? 10 years. Amazing ministry, amazing legacy, and we're so glad that we said yes. Right? Just a random voice on the phone said yes. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to meet you. I'm willing to go where God leads me, do what Jesus tells me to do. And that's how amazing lifelong friendship begins. We're so grateful for to receive from the ministry of John Boyd. Would you welcome him this morning?
What a memory. I'd forgotten about a telephone book. But that's a true story. We had no other way of making contact. As you can imagine, I'm not from southern Texas. And so ultimately, we looked in the telephone book. And Living Way Church was one of the 3,000 telephone calls Tanya and I made. Can you believe that? Wow. 3,000 calls. Six churches allowed us to come and visit with them and share about our ministry with MAF. And Living Way, Pastor Doug, you may remember this, Val. You were our first church. Do you know that? This church. So it has a huge place in the hearts of Tanya and I. It really does. But when I think of 25 years of ministry now with MAF and the fact that God ordained that I would become their president and CEO, who could have thought that? I was a young buck back then, ready to fly. So this morning we're going to get into the word in a moment, but I was just thinking, I sat down for a wee bit while we were praising and worshiping and singing. And Hawaii team, thank you. You bless me beyond understanding. I've still not been to Hawaii. Okay? I need an invitation so that I can go and be there. But I was sitting and praying and thinking, and I don't know what you're feeling this morning. You know, I don't know what struggles you're having. It may be health issues, or it may be something with family. It might be financial issues. I don't know that, but there is one who does, our Lord Jesus. And as I was preparing for today, for this particular morning, I realized that it was 30 years ago this week that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm getting goosebumps. It's like, really? 30 years ago this week. I don't remember the day, unfortunately. I do remember going forward at a church service, an evening service, and accepting Christ. But it was 30 years ago. I'm 68 years old, so that tells you that I've been a Christian less than half my life. Wow. But when God calls, He equips.
Yes, He does.
By the way, who was here Friday night? Oh, bless you. Saturday night? And the rest of you? Oh. I shared last night that I'm actually an introvert by nature. I'm just a quiet chap. I do not like the spotlight. I do not like being up front here. And I have over the years collected John's jottings. It's pages and pages and pages of quotes that I love. And this one resonates with me so well. It may be an honor, but never a pleasure. There are few things from which I derive intense pleasure, and speaking is not one of them. Oh my goodness. And do you know who that was? Winston Churchill.
Oh.
And do you know what a great orator he was? If you've ever read his autobiographies and that, I've read a lot of his work. He was so scared to get up and speak. And so am I. Except that I have the Holy Spirit with me. So whatever comes out of my mouth today, I take no responsibility for it. It's all from the Holy Spirit. But God's plan are so unique. And as I was looking at the story of what Mary, this beautiful lady, did at Bethany. Let's just put those. I'm not going to go through the whole thing today because we've gone over it. But I wanted to give this as a bit of background. It's really the last two sentences which I'll read to you. Where Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Hugely significant words from our Lord Jesus. Hugely significant. And as a way of recap to get into this morning's message, because I decided to take a little different tack this morning. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit has guided what I have prepared. Because I've recognized during Friday night and Saturday night, I had no idea what others were going to share, what music was going to be shared, and it was so synergistic. Isn't that a cool word, synergistic? I don't know where they come from, but that's what God does. Yes. He works in a way that leaves me breathless. Yes. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. And you young, dear young folk here, this is the young folk section. I know that.
You're here.
Yes. Oh, there you are. Yes, I think you're chronologically age challenged myself. But anyway, so let's have a quick recap. Okay, so Mary, who poured the oil on Jesus' head, was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. That we know from the scriptures. What Mary did that morning in that room in Bethany was an amazing, amazing love of act, an act of love and appreciation for Jesus by anointing him. She anointed him with very expensive perfume. I want you to remember this. As we march through this morning, remember that it was very, very expensive perfume. The apostles actually objected to Mary's use of this perfume and thought it a waste of financial resources. They thought the perfume could have been sold for a higher price and given to the poor. We've also learned that Jesus actually rebuked them for criticizing Mary, and he commented that you will always have the poor amongst you, but that they would not always have Jesus. Think about that for a moment. So Mary does this amazing sacrificial act of love for Jesus. And I'll tell you something, she laid it on the line there.
Yes.
Because back in Matthew's day, women were not as respected and appreciated like they are today. And she took a huge risk. Ladies, I know some of you will relate to this. It's very difficult when you're not accepted. And what Mary did, as Jesus said, is being what are we doing this morning? We're talking about it.
Yes.
And Jesus foretold that that's what would happen. But he used it as an illustration of mission. And we'll get to that a little later. And Jesus makes this very profound statement. He says, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel or good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Mary wasn't looking for name recognition or to leave a legacy. She did what she did out of sacrificial love. And she risked a huge amount. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Yes. Are you awake?
Yes.
I ask this every time because I do not want to put you to sleep. I know I have this dulcet voice that can just kind of lull you into apathy. But I want you to be charged here this morning because Jesus is with us. He knows each and every one of our thoughts. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows where you're fearful. Some of us may be distressed. But at the end of the day, think of this one, that Jesus has you and me in the palm of his hand, as he had with the apostles and he had with Mary. So let's change that direction a little here. Thinking of that expensive perfume and the wonderful, wonderful and pleasing scent and aroma it must have given on Jesus' body and in that room. Think for a moment what it must have been like. From some of the research I've done, nard, or this expensive perfume, is found in the Himalayas, a plant, and it is strong. It's rather strong. So that pervasive scent or aroma was in that room. Let's see, there we go. So we're going to change tack a little, and I'm going to read this with you from 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. It says this, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." Let me go back a little bit. Everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him, the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. This is our missions conference. Yes. This weekend is about missions. But missions is inherently, by its very nature, about the Great Commission. And you know it and I know it. It's not just those who seem to be called to go to missions. It's all of us in harmony and in partnership together. We are on mission for Jesus. Whether you go to far-flung nations, or you're right here in Poway, or wherever you work, wherever you go to school, whatever you do, whatever sport you play, we are Christ's ambassadors to those who are lost.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to share with you this morning, as I've done the last 2 days, 2 photographs a little later, just to give an illustration of what happens before and after. And I take very seriously the fact that Christ has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment.
Yes, it
is. He's told us to do it. And we better jolly well obey.
Yes.
Because I know what happens to me when I was a wee boy in Scotland. See the Scottish flag, isn't it cool?
Yes.
St. Andrew's Cross, beautiful. Thank you, the little fellow who carried that as well. But my mum and dad would give me a across the lug hole, the ear, when I was rather disobedient. I know we're not supposed to do it today. Please give me a break. I seem to have grown up okay. But being disobedient, you can expect to be disciplined.
Yes.
So folks, dear ones in Christ, let's be obedient to God's command on the Great Commission. So as we march through and we think for ourselves that it's a fact, it's a plain fact, Gospels tell us that, as we follow Christ, we are his aroma.
Yes.
Now think of that for a moment. Beautiful perfume, that aroma permeates and pervades everything. That's what we should be and we are. We need to be that fragrance for Jesus wherever we are. Now I will tell you candidly, I have served on the mission field, if you will, as an MAF pilot. And I can tell you, it was astonishing to me to see people's reactions. And I'm going to, please understand, it's just a story to illustrate of how it is that we can be the fragrance and aroma of Jesus, and in a heartbeat, we can blow our testimony. We just can. Do you know why? Because we're human.
Yes.
I know flying as an MAF pilot in some very difficult situations, you get stressed. And the weather's coming in and the airstrip is tough and you're landing in an airstrip. And here's a story I want to tell you. Well, I used to fly a lot of other missionaries who were coming in and out of places where they might have been building a church or doing Bible translation or doing church camps or short-term mission trips. And do you know the people who reacted the most badly to the fact that me as an MAF pilot couldn't get them out on time? The missionaries. Oh, they would get so hacked off with me. And I'd say, time out. I'm taking a decision to keep you safe.
Right.
And then I'd walk over to two of them in particular and I'd whisper and I'd say, do you understand what you're doing? The villagers are watching you.
Yes.
Your attitude and your aroma for Jesus is just, it's skunk-like now. So my point this morning is we are the aroma of Jesus to so many people. And by the way, to each other as well.
Yes.
How do we treat each other?
Yes.
How do you treat your mom, dad? How do you treat your parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters? The aroma of Jesus is what we've got to permeate this world for Him. It is a fact, as we follow Christ, we are His aroma. Obedience to God's will is a secret of spiritual knowledge and insight. It is not the willingness to know, but the willingness to do or obey God's will that brings certainty. Anybody recognize the name of who said
yes.
that?
Yes.
Eric Little?
Sure.
A Scotsman, what can I say? Chariots of Fire. Fabulous, fabulous movie. What an incredible man Eric was. But think about that. Obedience to God's will is a secret of spiritual knowledge and insight. It's not the willingness to know it, but the willingness to do and obey God's will that brings certainty in life. There's no doubt that as we sit here at Living Way Church this morning at our missions conference, that many of us struggle with obedience and doing His will. I certainly do. I will tell you, helping lead a ministry like MAF is very challenging and very difficult. I get asked so much, so John, what's the most difficult thing or what's the best thing about leading the ministry? What challenges you the most? And most people expect me to say raising the money or people. I say, you know what it is? Spiritual discernment. Trying to discern the will of God for what I think this ministry of MAF should be doing, shouldn't be doing, where we should be going, what we shouldn't. It's very challenging. But at the end of the day, in my obedience and my prayer life, and I know it's like that with you, you've got to trust that the Holy Spirit will work.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will work. And sometimes I often don't get it right. But that's okay. We're not perfect. Oh boy, you just have to look around us. I mean, I think some of the biggest whack jobs are in Christendom. You know how difficult some Christians are to manage and lead? And if I'm offending you, forgive me, but I'm just speaking it like it is. So Eric Little did so much in his life and was willing to give it all for Jesus. And we watched, as a family, we watched that movie every year, just to remind myself, my wife, and our three children. Spiritual obedience. And it's only while we are living sacrifices of Christ that we become a pleasing aroma to God for the benefit of others. See that?
Yes.
For the benefit of others. He leads us, works via us to influence others. We are the aroma of Christ to God for others. So let's stop right there for a moment and just think for ourselves that the opportunities and the circumstances that the Lord Jesus allows you and you and you and you and me to be in every time in life gives us that platform to be the aroma of Jesus. And I'm going to be open. Have you ever heard that term, open kimono? Is when you really share it all. You just open the kimono and share. Woohoo! No? Okay. So open kimono here, okay? I am not perfect. Who is? None of us is. None of us is. But being willing to lay it all on the line and boldly demonstrate and proclaim the good news, demonstrate through the aroma and how we act, our attitudes, How you treat one another. By the way, my young daughter, Alana, is 17. She'll be 18 in May. She texted me this morning and said, Dada. She calls me Dada. I love it, Dada. I'm praying for you today. She was called into work. She's not going to church. She was called into work at a coffee shop. Something happened. She's a barista. And oftentimes, she tells me, Dada, I'm just praying for you. I'm thinking of you. And I can tell you that means a huge amount to me. Because we can misstep in our lives. But when people are praying for us and understand that we're fallen, sinful human beings, we're not always going to be that beautiful, aromatic aroma of Jesus to others. When we misstep, we ask forgiveness, we pick ourselves up and we move on.
Yes.
We have to.
Yes.
I will tell you, this world is broken. I've seen it. I get the privilege of traveling all over this world. I am so saddened by how broken this world is. And I can honestly tell you this, that there's only one way forward, through Jesus.
Yes.
I don't know how you do that, but Jesus does. Because he told us, go and make disciples. It's not up to us to convert the heathen. It's up to us to be that aroma of Jesus wherever we are.
Yes.
Sacrifices of Christ that we become a pleasing aroma to God for the benefit of others. Being selfish is a natural thing for us humans. I will tell you quite candidly, I'm selfish. I said last night that I don't do dirt well. When we've been in the Congo and Haiti and everything, we had rats, they're seriously big rats. And it was dirty and it was hot and we didn't have electricity. We didn't have running water. Now I had to get up and go and fly every day. But my attitude was what kept me going because I believed from my heart that God had called us to do this and I was jolly well going to do it.
Yes.
And my wife Tanya, she said to me, John, you know, sweetheart, I love you so much, but do open up a can of man and get over yourself. Oh, what can I see? He's this high. So, dear ones, let's open up a can of man and woman, get over ourselves, and do what God's called us to do.
Yes.
Let's lay it out there for Jesus. This next slide is probably one of the best ones I've seen in a long time. I hope you can see it well or not. There we go. All right, so when I get crossed out, Jesus becomes the focus. You see that? Isn't that so cool? That is absolutely brilliant. So take me out of the equation, and who's always the focus? Jesus. When I get crossed out, Jesus becomes the focus. When I and we remove ourselves from trying to do it, Jesus becomes the focus. When we're that pleasing aroma, it's not about us. It's about what God has for us to do in His world. I'm guessing that in this sanctuary this morning, there's so many different vocations and people doing different things. But wherever you are and wherever we are, the way we speak to one another, the way we look at one another, the way we react to things that are happening, is the way that Jesus wants us to act in life and be that aroma. So take me out of the equation and Jesus becomes the focus. Isn't that cool?
Yes, yes.
Missions Conference weekend. As we go and share the gospel, we need to believe that people will respond to the message if we are faithful to go and tell them. I wonder how many of us have actually shared the gospel with someone else this week. I have a neighbor at our house up in Idaho, in Middleton, Idaho, where we live. And he's a very difficult man to love. Quite frankly, I don't like him very much. But I remember when I was a baby Christian, in one of the early classes, one of the teachers said, you know, you don't have to like them, just love them. What he was saying is, you don't have to like the person, but if you love them enough, pray for them. Pray for their salvation. And that's the truth of it. I've invited him to certain functions at the church we attend. He's never come. But here's the bottom line. Never, ever, ever give up.
Yes.
When I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, a group of men that I knew before I was a Christian shared with me. They said, John, you were the one we were praying for. You were the one we said the most unlikely ever to come to Jesus. I was such an arrogant, oh my gravy. It was astonishing. And they shared with me that they continued to pray for years. And they would never give up because they knew in God's time. So never ever give up. Never give up. We need to believe that people will respond to the message of the gospel if we're faithful to tell them. There we go. Sometimes it is the people that no one imagines anything of that do the things that no one can imagine. Oh, isn't that powerful? As a young boy at school, I was skinny like a rake. I was bullied, and I would never tell my mom and dad. I was too embarrassed. I got beaten up every week. And the five or six chaps who used to beat me up didn't realize that years later I'd become a policeman. I wasn't that vindictive. But it was thought that I would never amount to anything. I wasn't very bright at school. Didn't do well. I was jolly good at rugby and cricket and tennis and swimming. Sport was great. It was thought that I would never amount to anything. But back then, teachers were not like they are today. I mean, oh my goodness, they were hard. But ultimately, sometimes it's the people that no one imagines anything of that do the things that no one can imagine. Can you believe that I stand here before you today, having served in MAF for 25 years and having been allowed the privilege of leading this great global ministry? No one could have predicted that. Jesus knew.
Yes, he did.
Jesus knew. And never, ever, ever think how desperate you're feeling, young people, or whatever it is, and Jesus will make the way straight. I'm not saying that you'll rise to great fame or fortune. No, I'm not saying that. Where God has you placed is where He wants you.
Yes,
that's the key to this. Missions is about being obedient to His will and doing what? Going and making disciples wherever you are. Here we go. Oh, sorry. Oh, gosh. There we go. No one thought I would amount to anything. And I'm showing these two photos not to make John sound brilliant. Oh, that's a cool one. Look at the hair. So I had a career in law enforcement as my career. And this photograph was taken in the home of my mum and dad, I think 3 or 4 weeks after I graduated from detective training school. So I was a detective for a while. I served on the homicide division, crimes of violence. And it was astonishing. At that point in my life, I saw the depravity of what humans could do to one another. It was so tragic. And I wasn't a Christian then. And my life back then was characterized by trying to find bad people and seeing death and mutilation and rape and brutality. I was 21 in that photograph. The youngest ever at that time detective appointed in the Rhodesian police. And the reason I'm showing you that is because no one imagines what God will do with someone's life who will come to Him, lay it all out there for Him, and through all one's failings and fears and introversion, be used of Christ to do one thing: share the gospel. The next slide then was taken in Haiti. I was the pilot on the day that this call came in to go and fly a badly, badly injured man. And the photo's not very good, I'm afraid. I was taking it with a really old camera back then. We didn't have cell phones. And as I was loading that man into the the aeroplane on a stretcher. He was burnt over 90% of his body. He was conscious because I could see it in his eyes. I saw more than the pain. I saw a lostness, totally lost. And as I was loading him in, I asked some of the village folk there. It was in a remote airstrip in the northern part of Haiti. And this is all in French Creole. I said, "Who is this man?" And two people came forward. And they said, "He's our Unga." And I got goosebumps. Voodoo priest. Wow, I thought, oh my goodness. And then in my mind, not out loud, I'm praying, "Lord, what do I do?" And this voice, and it wasn't an audible voice, please understand this, said, "Just love him." And do you remember what I said to you earlier about the aroma of Jesus?
Yes.
And so I had obviously carefully loaded him in, but I just got a group of people together and I said, "Does he have family here?" I said, "Yes, his wife." I said, "Would she like to go with me?" Because I was taking that man from an airstrip in the remote part of Haiti, no medical attention, to a mission airstrip 15 miles away. You couldn't get there by road, and if you could, it would take you 18 hours. It's so bad. The flight from that airstrip to the one I was going, 12 minutes. MAF airplanes. His wife came forward, and she was shaking. Obviously, the shock of her husband. And through a translator, because I don't speak good Creole, I speak French, I said to her, "Would you like to go with me?" And she said, "Yes." I said, and this is the Holy Spirit giving me boldness. "And can I pray?" Whoa, that stopped the bus. And I prayed and I said, "Lord, please just guide my hands as I fly this airplane. Whatever plan you have for this man's life, he's one of your children. Voodoo priest." And I flew that man and his wife to the mission hospital. 3 or 4 weeks later, I found out he had survived. I contacted a national pastor, a Haitian pastor, and I said, "Pastor Vranier, can you follow up?" And he did. Pastor Vranier followed up with this man. As Tanya and I were leaving Haiti after serving there for 2 years, I found out that man had accepted Christ. I still want to weep because I had nothing to do with it. We planted seeds. But you know what it was? I think it was the aroma of Jesus. I think it was the fact that I cared enough. And that's what I want to illustrate today. My life before, pretty selfish. My life after, committed to doing one thing, being the best I can to honor Jesus in all I do. And as our missions conference this weekend, what a great opportunity you have, everyone here. You know, you're ordained by God to be here this morning. I don't know what will come out of this. I really don't. But my prayer has always been that one or two or more will be challenged and encouraged. Not necessarily to go, don't get me wrong, but to be stronger for Jesus in your walk and share the good news of Christ and be that pleasing, pleasant aroma. One of the most frustrating aspects of mission work is the immensity of the task and the scarcity of the workers. Just a fact. It is so big, the task of going into the remotest of the remote to every nation is so huge that we just can't do it. No, we can't. Christ has the plan. He knows who's coming. He knows who's going. He knows who's going to stay back and faithfully pray and give. He knows the church like Living Way who can send, who can reach out into the local community. His plan is greater than anything we can do. But the harvest is plentiful. Dear ones, there are billions of people who don't know Jesus. Do you know that?
So true.
Astonishing. The workers are few. So my encouragement this morning, if God is raising your heart, step out and begin to take a ride of your life. Because that'll knock your socks off. It's not about John, the person. It's not about MAF. But it's all of us together in missions. Because you prayed. Because you gave. Because you care. All of us together can make a huge difference in this world. Are you still with me? We're going to wrap up now. Are we still doing well, Pastor Daniel? Yeah, I'll wrap up. I was getting a groove on her, so. Jesus has pledged that his gospel will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. Profound words and so true. The knowledge of Christ is sweet smelling, and our aroma to others will reflect Jesus. Paul speaks of us as being a fragrance and an aroma. We're telling and discussing the story of Mary in the room in Bethany today, which Jesus foretold. But what about the cost? Preaching a message of repentance and faith has always been challenging, and it's always required courage. We are called as Christians to pick up our cross and follow Christ.
Yes.
It's the 2018 Living Way Missions Conference, and it's important to note that God has a mission and is on a mission. It is the Holy Spirit who calls, equips, and empowers the people of God. The mission, therefore, is God's. It's His mission. We seek the provision of God, but sometimes neglect His purposes. Let's not forget or neglect His purposes and the command in the Great Commission. The pouring of the perfume over Jesus' head and feet was an act of selfless, sacrificial love. And what an amazing example of someone who's willing to lay it all out there. I know around the world there are folk who are laying it all out there in countries that are so persecuted. There are Christians out there that are my heroes. And they're getting persecuted and killed for their faith. We live in a society here in America that is absolutely stunning.
Yes.
My family and I are so grateful to God for the blessing of living in this great nation. But where much is given, much is expected. America, stand up for Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Let us be a sending nation again. You know, America is no longer the greatest sending nation on earth. We've slid to number 4. That is terrible, people. God has provided us with resources and people and finances beyond anything you can imagine. When I see the children that I've visited in orphanages and AIDS orphanages and dying people who don't know Jesus, I get desperate until I remember that it's not about me, it's God's mission.
Yes, yes.
We just have to be found faithful.
Yes.
So thank you, Living Way Church, and your leaders for more than 25 years of prayer and support for the Boyd. Together we're being obedient to God's command to grow and make disciples. And thank you, Pastor Daniel, for the very brave invitation of having me as your speaker this weekend. I do pray that we've heard our Lord speak through His servant. That's me, by the way. And may He add His blessing to the words spoken. You see, we can change the ending.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, empower us to be your band of captives. We know how much better our lives are when we relinquish control and the rights of our lives to you, Jesus. Thanks be to you as you lead us in Christ. Today, we turn our hearts anew to you, indicating our lives are empty, Lord, without you. We surrender ourselves to your lead. And may God grant us the grace to serve with undeniable, unshakable, illogical even, and foolish passion for the hallowing of God's name and the building of His global kingdom. Help us, dear Jesus, to be part of your beautiful story around the world and to be that fragrant aroma of Christ. Amen.